Welcome, welcome, welcome. We praise the Lord that you're here today. We love Jesus out here and praise the Lord. Okay, for the next few weeks, as usual, Cheryl has got her announcement to be made. It's that time of year again. Well, you know, we all of us go through cycles of some kind, right? Christmas is a cycle, you know, that we're fixing to go through. And the Lord told us to bless those that are not quite so fortunate. In fact, I think, did they put the scripture on the board?
No, could you put Proverbs 19:17 in the NLT? Proverbs 19:17 in the NLT. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you.
Let me ask you a question before she gets on that. How many of y'all believe that's in the Bible?
Amen.
How many of you believe God will really do what he said?
Amen.
Okay, I just wondered if y'all believed.
Yeah, I told Thurman, I said, isn't there a place in the Bible that says that if you bless people, the poor, that you're lending to the Lord? And he went, well, yeah, there is. And I said, he said, I'll find it for you, because I was out shopping. I'm getting cart shoulder from pushing the cart. My shoulder. I said, can you rub this? I said, wow. Well, we have first off, I'm going to tell you a different thing besides Christmas. December the 7th is our 7th anniversary Christmas potluck dinner, 7th anniversary for being in this church. So anyway, December the 7th, bring some kind of potluck dish to celebrate, and we're all going to feast here for Christmas. All right, then to Christmas. As you can see, we have a beautiful Christmas tree. Walmart gave it to us. We love Walmart. They gave us a $400 tree and blessed us a couple of years ago with it, and we are so thankful that they did that. So we've been raising money, cash money we've gotten, and gifts and gift cards. We have a total of $15,235 so far.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I still
have more shopping to do to finish Christ Haven. And then after Christ Haven, of course, I go to Grace, Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. Then I go to Salvation Army in Denton. And I go to also Justin Community Closet. So we're trying to help several people. Last year, we raised $72,906 and gave Christmas to 4,232 children and elderly and 14 families, which is a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a lot of shopping. And I have lost weight. I weigh 125, if anybody cares. Thank you, Jesus. I haven't weighed that much in 11 years. Praise the Lord. Okay, so if you can help, we still need help, as well as I need... they want 75 Six Flag tickets, which is $4,500. So that's another, yeah, but we always raise it. In fact, every time I talk to God about this, I'll say, oh, God, please bring money in or do this. You know, I'll start doing my begging thing, and he'll say, have you ever been short? And I go, no. So I have to keep my mouth shut and just keep praising him and saying, thank you, Lord, for supplying all my needs. And he's so good. Every time I go at Kohl's, they give me $500 a day to shop. And all this week, I've gotten Kohl's cash. I've got over $800 of Kohl's cash, as well as they give me rewards, which I'll be getting here in the next few days, which sometimes it's $700 or $800. So God really supplies everything that I could ever need or want to help these children and the elderly. We're giving through Salvation Army. We give to 8 nursing homes in Denton, which I give them like little sleepwear type thing and house shoes, things that they need to rest. So we are resting, and I'm resting right now.
Yeah.
So praise God. Thank you for helping. And on your giving envelope or on your check, if you just put Christmas or children on it, I'll understand. God bless. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a personal question. How many of you have voted? Wow. That's a bunch of you. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's my kind of folks. Now, any of you that did not raise your hand, you have one more chance, and that's Tuesday. You know, you got to go vote. So, and of course, they made it a lot easier by voting absentee, because you can vote anywhere, and you don't have to be either Republican or Democrat or whatever. You can just go anywhere where they vote and vote. But that's over now. And Tuesday, you have to either vote Democrat or Republican, and if you do that, then you have to go either to a place. Like last year, I didn't know that, so we waited till the day of the voting to vote, and we go up to the city hall in Justin, And they said, you can only vote Democrat. I said, when they said Democrat, I said, where do you vote for Republicans? Said, well, you can't vote here. You have to find a place. I said, you mean I can't vote for Republicans here? They said, no, only Democrats. I said, well, you can be assured I ain't voting here. And so I said, where can I go vote? Well, you know, when I see an ad, just like I saw last night on the news, there was a person saying that don't vote for this lady as a senator in the state of Texas because she's trying to run the state of Texas. She believes that there should be no abortion. I thought, praise God, that's my kind of woman. You know, but here somebody's trying to get you not to vote for her because she believes that you do not want to have an abortion. Well, I mean, abortion is murder. In any way you look at it, it's murder, you know, and we as Christians cannot vote for those kind of people. So anyway, they told us, go over to the Baptist church. We think the Baptist church is taking Republicans. So Cheryl and I drive over to the Baptist church up here in Justin and walk in, and they says, no, we're only Democratic too. And so I thought, now, wow, first of all, if I was the pastor of that church, you couldn't have that in my church. You know, because I'm going to be a partaker of their sin, and that ain't going to happen. Now, if they'd have said we could be Republicans only, I'd said, okay, at least some of the Republicans that I know believe in the same things I believe in, and they're not trying to throw God out of their platform. So, okay, but so we finally had found over in Roanoke, I think it's the city hall or whatever it is in Roanoke, back up there, we finally found a place where there was a place you could vote Democrat on this side of the building and Republican on this side of the building. So we got to go in. I told Cheryl, I said, you know, if we had been working people and had waited till 5 o'clock or 5:30 in the afternoon when we got off work, and then we'd have went to close to where we live, by the time we found this, the polls would have been closed at 7 o'clock.
Here in the general election like it is, everybody goes to where they're supposed to vote in their precinct.
Oh, okay. So that was only, okay. I didn't understand that. Okay, so this time for the voting, they can vote anywhere?
No. You have to go to your precinct. You'll have to look it up if you don't know where you're.
Okay. So, in other words, yeah. Okay, he's giving me some information. I don't know all the details about this. I just know that I wanted to vote, and I do know when I voted early, you know, that I can go anywhere. And we went up there, and it was no problem, and I told everybody at work for me, you know, I said, if you don't go vote, I said, you know what that means? You know what that means, Michael? I hate to do this, but sometimes I ain't gonna say who it is. But a while ago, I've talked to men and women today already that have come in and asked me to pray for them, or that I've offered to pray for them because something was wrong with them. And one of the men, I normally don't do this to women, but one of the men, he's a good friend of mine. I asked him how he's doing, and he said he wasn't doing real well. And I said, well, why? And he said something, and I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You may be older than me, and I'm younger than you, but I'm going to say, if I hear you make that negative confession one more time, I'm going to punch you out. Now, somebody said, Pastor, you wouldn't do that? Yes, I would. I might not hit you too hard, but I'm going to punch you out. The reason I make those kind of statements to people, I'm trying to wake you up to the promises of God. You know that, don't you? In other words, if I really believe this book is real, and how many of y'all believe the Word of God is the Word of God? It's not just a book, is it? In other words, this book means exactly what it says. Now then, I'm gonna read something to you out of this book, and I know that if it's in the book, it's got to mean what it says. Is that right? If it's written. In other words, if it's just not my idea. So I want to take you to a verse in Psalm 103, and I want you to look at the first two parts, verse 1 and 2, and Psalms 103, and look at what Psalm 103 says. Said, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Now then, when's the last time you said praise the Lord? Okay. Now then, but you know what happens to us? It's not uncommon at all in church to say, praise the Lord. But you know, it's very uncommon to hear somebody say, good morning, praise the Lord. Do you all understand where I'm coming from? Out in the workplace, we don't do that very often. I mean, it's real easy for us to say good morning, but not put that praise the Lord on it. Because I might offend somebody, right, Michael? I don't want to offend people. Well, let me tell you, I got over that a long time ago. You know, I got over that. Now, I don't really want to offend you, but I'd a whole lot rather offend you than the Lord. Amen. If I'm not willing to say, praise the Lord, and he knows it's coming from my heart, then he might not answer my prayer for you when I pray for you. And how many of you like it whenever you come here and get prayed for by somebody and your prayer gets answered? Do you like that? I love it. I love it when God answers my prayer. In fact, I'll just tell you, I went down to buy some airplane parts at the airplane place down here at Meacham this last week. And I'm working on my little 150, trying to get it ready to go. And so I was doing an annual on it, and I had to have a few parts. So I go down there, and as I'm getting my parts, one of the men there, they've moved to a new place. And he said something about, you know, how do you like our new place? I said, man, I love it. You got a lot more room, more parking and everything. I said, I liked it. I never found it the first time. You know, I had to have somebody literally lead me, and I had to call on the cell phone twice because I couldn't find the place because there's actually no address. So it's new building, so my GPS don't show nothing out there. So I was having trouble. And so anyway, I finally found the place, and I get in there, and I'm standing there at the counter talking to them. And one of them, I guess all of them knows I'm a pastor. But anyway, as we were talking, one of the girls said something. And I said, said something about my wife. And I said, well, yeah, I said, she's really a sweetheart. I said, I really love that girl with all my heart. And I said, I just love her so. I said, you know, I said, she's such a sweetheart. And one of the girls said, oh, you're so nice. And I said, well, y'all all know I'm a pastor or a Christian, don't you? And they said, yes. I said, okay. I said, y'all want to know why I really try to love my wife with all my heart? And they says, no, why? I said, well, because the Lord said in his word, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, even willing to give your life for your wife. Now, did he say that?
Yes.
Now then, if he said that, do you think he means for me to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so what if I don't do that? Well, see, then he puts another statement in the Bible. He says, so that I will answer your prayer. If you do not love your wife like Christ loved the church, then I will not answer your prayer. I said, and you know what? As a pastor, if I can't get my prayer answered, I'm in trouble. Is that right? But let me tell you what, guys, he wasn't just talking to pastors. He was talking to every one of you that's a husband. Is that right?
That's right.
Or if you're going to be a husband in the near future, he's talking to you. Is that right? God is talking to us from his word. And I said to those people there, I said, you know, I really love to see God answer my prayer. And I said, when I pray for somebody and the prayer does get answered, especially if it's something supernatural for them or their children, I said, they are really blessed too. And one of the girls says, oh, you get to see God do supernatural things? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, well, could you give us an example? I said, sure. I said, you know, let me look, reach in my pocket. And I said, oh yeah, I have a picture of my favorite little girl. I said, this little girl called Jenna. And I said, let me show you girls. I walked around behind the counter. I said, look at this little girl. And they looked and said, oh my gosh, who beat her? I said, God. They said, what? I said, yeah. I said, God sent a demon to beat this little girl like this because of her mother's sin. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. You're not telling us the truth. I said, oh yes, I am. I said, this little girl was born with this sickness. I said, we prayed for her for a year and a half with no results. I finally told them that all of God's promises are yes and amen, so we hadn't found the sin. And so I requested they, as a couple, go to God and find out what the sin was. And I said, they prayed for about 3 weeks, and then the Lord spoke to the woman and told her her lying and deception to her husband was why he had stricken this girl with this curse. They said, you mean God did that to that child? I said, yes. And I said, that's why we have so much sickness and disease, is because people don't believe the word and they don't do what he says. But I said he did this. And they said, well, wow, what did you do? I said, well, once I found the sin and they repented of the sin, I said, she asked her husband to forgive her. Then she asked God to forgive her. And then I started to pray the prayer of faith. And she said, oh, Pastor, I want you to ask the Lord to give my baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. I said, well, I know the one that can do that. How many of you know that God? Do you know him? In other words, the God we talked about last week can do exceedingly. Have we heard that word? Abundantly, above all. So there ain't no limitations, is there, with God? There is no limitations. The only limitation with God is right here in this flesh and blood. I'm the one that limits him, nothing else. And so I said, once they got their sins taken care of, then that woman asked me to ask God to give her baby a brand new coat of skin. I said, I prayed, and in 2 weeks, this is what this little girl looked like. And I turned to that last picture, and they looked at it, and they said, that's unbelievable. I said, no, that's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with us. Right there, what you girls just said, I said, you know, if you girls were really, really strong Christians that believed that God could do anything, when you saw that picture, this is what would have come out of your mouth. That's my God. That's my Jesus. Is that the way we should think? So what's impossible with him? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we don't believe that. That's why we have all these problems. Just like Dave went over everything that he went over a while ago on the communion table. We don't believe that. See, there's one thing that Dave failed to tell you about that. You have to receive that by faith. You can believe that in your head, in your heart, and everywhere else. But if you don't really believe it by faith, it don't work. You got to believe everything in the kingdom by faith. When you ask God for something, now, let's look at this. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With all my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. I challenge you to think this week as sons and daughters of God. If you believe this book is real, Michael, what is he telling you to do there in that verse? Praise him. Well, your whole heart. That means you need to be thinking about him, talking about him, wherever, in your business and everything. You need to be praising the Lord, right, young man? I mean, is that what the Lord's telling us? I mean, if we're young or old, makes no difference. If you're like me or Roy, me and Roy, we're a little older than some of y'all, aren't we, Roy? But we're still not too old. I mean, you know, Roy, I was reading the book of Joshua this week, and Joshua was 110 years old when he died. I thought, you know, I'm not old at all. Me and you're still just peanuts. We're just wimps, that's all. We're just young'uns. That's absolutely right. We're just young men. See, and we need to start thinking like that. Because if we think, I'm old and wore out, I can't do it. As a man thinketh in his heart. Oh, y'all know that scripture. So do we believe it? Most of us don't. We really don't, because if we really believed that scripture that we just quoted, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, we would start thinking different, right? I'm young. Somebody say, boy, you're getting old. Said, not me. You must be talking about him. Not me. Not me. Not at all. Oh, and I remember what really, what down there at that parts place, when one of the girls said something about your wife, I said, yeah, I said, she's such a sweetheart. But I said, you know, my wife said the other day, she looked at me and she said, honey, you're not getting any older, but I am. And that's what she said. That's what she told me. And I said, well, why? What makes you think you're getting older? She said, because I have this little turkey neck. And I said, I told her, I went over and grabbed my wife and held her in my arms and looked her right in the eye and said, honey, turkey neck or no turkey neck, I love you. I love you with all my heart. That's when the girl said, oh, gee, you're so nice. I mean, but she don't really have one.
No,
she don't have one at all. She's the one that said that. And I told her, I said, if you have one, whether you have one or do not have one, I love you with all my heart. Did I not do that? So see, that's when the girls all said, oh, gee, you're so nice. And then I said, well, you know why I do that? And I said, because if I don't love her like that, I said, if I were to make fun of that or whatever, if I didn't love my wife like Christ loved the church, then the Lord says he will not answer my prayer. And I said, as a pastor of a church, I definitely need him to hear my prayer and answer my prayer. Because if I can't get my prayers answered, we're all in trouble, are we not? But anyway, if the Lord told me to do that, let's see what the next verse says. Let's see what the number two says. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Sound like I just read that. I wonder why he told us twice or three or four times. And the Lord, and may I never forget the good things he does for me. Wow. Let all that I am praise all that I am. If this is true, if this is a owner's manual to the Christian, we're not obeying very well. Do you agree with that, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid so.
We don't. I mean, you know, but that's what you come to church for, to learn out what you're supposed to do, right?
Yes,
and then you can take what I teach you from God's word and go do it.
Yes,
and then he'll do great things for you, right?
Yes,
but if the Lord tells us to praise him and worship him and forget not all of his benefits, then I think that's what we should do.
Amen.
You know, I think that we should praise him. You know, I mean, I've learned to do this a long time ago, and it's just become a way of life for me. In fact, the other day I walked through the ministry room there, and there was nobody in there. I didn't think there was nobody in there, but Miss Kathy was over in the corner doing the mail outs, and I didn't see her when I walked through, and I got almost to the other side, and I haven't said anything yet, but I'm not through it, but I'm nearly through it. And as I get, all of a sudden, she says, Pastor. I said, oh, I said, oh, Kathy, I didn't see you. I didn't know you were in here. She says, I can't believe it. I said, you can't believe what? She said, you got almost completely across this room and you did not say, praise the Lord. She said, I've never seen you walk through this room and get all the way across that. No, you don't say at least one to three times, praise the Lord. So, I mean, but what did the master tell me to do? I mean, where did I get my instructions? From the word. Now, do you think I'm supposed to obey those instructions? Do you think you're supposed to obey those instructions? Then some of us need to make some changes, right? I'm not praising him enough. If he tells us to praise him and we obey him, did you know there's some awesome promises in God's word that says, if you obey me, then you can come and ask me for. Do you like that? I do too. I love it when I read there where he says, now then, son, ask me for anything and I'll do it. Isn't that great? And is the book full of those promises? The book is full of those. Well, why do they not work for us? Well, maybe we're laying down on this. Maybe we're not praising him enough. I challenge every one of us this week, including myself, as I go through the week, to pay attention to how many times I say, praise the Lord. In other words, do it because you love him. Don't do it out of just whatever. Do it because you really love Jesus. In fact, I was listening to a pastor in Atlanta last week, and he said, the way you can tell what the spiritual temperature is of a person is how many times they say in a day, praise the Lord. And I thought, wow, I hadn't even thought about that. But I do know that if we really love him and serve him, you can't keep from saying praise the Lord. I don't have any idea how many times a day that I say those words. But a lot, don't I? I hope you do too. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she has a parrot that says, praise the Lord. And so she says that if the parrot's not talking, she's not talking. Yeah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In other words, let all that I am praise the Lord. Is that what he said? And then he said, and never forget the good things he does for us. Now then, in the NLT, in other words, on the King James, rather, not the NLT, that's what that is, the NLT. But the King James, it says, and forget not all his benefits. And he has lots of them, doesn't he? Okay, let's see what verse 3. Okay, there it is, starting there. One of the benefits, he forgives all our iniquities. Now then, is this written in God's word?
Yes.
Is this part of the owner's manual? Now, can it be wrong?
No.
No, it cannot be wrong. So if it cannot be wrong, then if part of the benefit package is he forgives all my iniquities, why is it so easy for the average person to believe that if I got through preaching about salvation, and when the service is over, a man comes out or a woman comes down and says, I have been living a terrible life. I've had 4 abortions. In fact, I have even killed 3 children besides that. I have murdered my husband years ago. Nobody knew it. I mean, let's just really lay this on thick. The worst person you can ever imagine. But they said, today I'm asking God to forgive me for all of my sins. I bet there's not a person in this room that would not believe that God would not forgive that person. You believe God would forgive that person? Okay, so everybody that believes that God will not forgive that person, I want you to hold up your hand. Okay, so we all believe. We all believe, no problem. Now, we all believe this first part. And then the second part says, and he heals all of my diseases. Now then, let's say that person is sick. We don't say what they've done. We don't know what they've done. Only thing they come forward for is healing today. Maybe they're walking as close as they know how. Maybe they've repented of every sin known to man. And they've heard us teach these kind of principles. And so they've confessed sins all week before they get here. And this happens. This is a routine thing. This happens to us all the time. And people will come up and they will come down at the end of the service and say, Pastor, my neck, my heart, my back, my whatever. I've had this problem. My leg's killing me. Would you please pray for me? And I'll say, well, have you repented of all your sins? Oh, yes, yes. Ever sin, I've repented of everything. I said, okay, good. Now then, I ask you, have you repented for your unbelief? Well, I think I have. Okay, no problem. God will take that. So now I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. I'm going to pray for you and believe God's going to heal you. Now then, the scripture I'm going to use, Psalm 103. Now, after he forgave all of our iniquities, how many did he say he'd forgive all of our iniquities? Even if we had a whole bunch of them, right? And then he says, I will heal. Okay. Now, is that written in the book? Now, do you think God can lie to you? Okay, so we pray. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Okay, now then, right there, we're going to stop right there, and I'm going to go from here to another book. I'm going to go to James 1, 6 and 7. And after we prayed, I want you to see the requirements from the book in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, look at this. But when you ask him, you must be sure that your faith is in God alone. What does he mean when he says your faith in God alone? Oh, does that not include the doctor? You mean at this point you think that God is big enough to heal this woman or man without the doctor? Most of us don't believe that. Most preachers don't believe that. You know that? So why can we believe that he'll forgive that worst murdering, abortion, kid killing, man or woman, whatever that was? Why can we, every one of us, believe, not one single one of us held her hand up a while ago to believe that God wouldn't forgive that person regardless of who knows how wicked they have been? We all believe that God will forgive us our sins. Is that true? But in the same verse, in the same line, and in the next word, he said he heals how many? Why can we not believe that? So we pray, and we pray and believe God. You come down here and I or Cheryl and I, one or one of the other prayer teams, prays for you. And then they say, now I guarantee we stood on the promises of God. You repented. Now I guarantee you're healed. You know, and when I started using those words, I guarantee there was pastors that called me and said, man, you got to quit this nonsense. You know, God, he can heal whoever he wants to. I'm telling you what God said in his word right there. He'd heal anybody that come to him and repented of all sin. Did he not? Then he said, after he forgives all of your iniquities, he'll heal. And so now then we pray. And after we pray, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Because look what he says. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Well, let's see what the next verse says then, verse 7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's say that you call me and you say, Thurman, I need you to come over and pray for me. I've got cancer. Okay, so I go. I come to your house or you come to my church or whatever it is. First of all, people don't understand that sickness can't just come up on you. Sickness is a curse. Do we all know that? Sickness is the curse. I mean, if you don't know that, you need to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it clearly tells you what the blessings are and the curses are terrible. And so if you call me to come over to your house, and I come over to your house, and I say, well, first of all, we got to find your sin. We got to find the sin. Now, a lot of people don't believe that sickness and sin are directly related. But if you see a word and it says, the curse causeless cannot come to rest. That's in Proverbs 26, 2. Now, if the curse cannot come on you unless there's some kind of sin, then you got to have done something wrong. So we got to find out what it is, and we got to confess that sin. And so then I start down my line, and I say, well, I'll just use a man. This is more, it's obviously this happens more with men than it does with women. Because I said, first of all, I found two things that kills Christian men. Now, these are Christian men I'm talking about. It's rare that you ever get anybody to ask you to come to the hospital and pray for somebody that's not a Christian. It's just very rare. You know, I mean, just if they even mention having Thurman Scrivener come to the hospital and pray for them, they said, who is he? Well, he's a preacher that God heals people. Now, you know, one of them faith healers? Yeah, no, forget that. I don't even want him to come down here. And that's what they say. They have no faith in me or God or anybody else. So you can't go in a situation like that because God's not going to do anything. Very rarely. But anyway, for a man that is a Christian, and especially if a friend of his tells him about me and this ministry, and especially if he's got a lot of respect for this man, and this man says, you don't need to call Thurman and let him come pray over you. And he said, well, why should I call Thurman? He said, because I've been with Thurman on four or five occasions when we went to hospitals, men that were going to die. And when he prayed, they got well. So you need to call him. Well, you really seen that? Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So can you call him for me? I don't know who he is. So let's say the friend calls me and said, I'll come by and pick you up and I'll take you over to so-and-so's house and we'll pray for him. Okay, so I do that. And every once in a while, I'd still do that. And so we go over there and we find out. And I said, first of all, we got to find what brought this sickness upon you. How old are you? Oh, 55. And you got terminal cancer? 55. Now, how many of y'all know that it's not normal for a man to die at 55 with terminal cancer? Did God design this body to last more than 55 years? Yeah, praise God. I mean, Roy's back there. He serves God. He just told me a while ago, his is 80 and mine's nearly 76. In fact, I said in December, I'm going to just be 4 years younger than you are. And Roy said, no, in December, I'll be 81. So I'm still going to be 5 years older than you are. But you see how good a shape he's in. So God didn't design the body to die at 55, did he, Roy? No, he planned for this thing to live on. So why is it one man dies at 55 and the others live to 81 and still in good health? I mean, Roy may live many more years. You know, there ain't no telling how many more years God will let him live because he's a man of God. He produces fruit for the kingdom. And so anyway, I told the young man, I said, you know, we're going to have to find the sin. I said, and this is what causes the problem. A lot of times a man will not put God first. I said, there is a commandment in God's word that says we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength. Is that right? That's both in Old and New Testament, right? So he didn't change. We're supposed to love him with all our heart, mind, and strength. And I says, you know, what happens here is a Christian man, when a Christian man goes to church every Sunday and he thinks he's doing okay, I said, when he's going to church, and then on Monday, I said, Sunday afternoon, he may go out to dinner with somebody and they may go somewhere to eat and nobody ever says, praise the Lord. Nobody ever says, thank you, Jesus. Nobody ever mentions God. We just go out to eat and we talk about the football games or the ball games or whatever. or our business or whatever, and then Monday morning we're back in there working, we're running, jumping in our car, we're going places, we're doing things, we're building our empire. And you could go with that man all day long for six full days and you never hear praise the Lord. Now, is that the way God said do it? No. He says praise him with your whole heart. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him in the evening. Is that what he said? So I said, what happens is men, they will not put God first. They will not produce any fruit for the kingdom. They won't do anything to serve God except go to church on Sunday. And I said, an average Christian man thinks that's good enough. But I said, according to that scripture, we're supposed to praise him how much? All the time. Now, do you think he holds us accountable for that? Oh, yeah, he really does. And so I said, we don't do it. So I said, what happens then? Instead of living out your long, normal 70 or 80 or 90 years, which is at least is what it's supposed to be, at least Psalm 91 or Psalm 90, I mean, tells us we should live at least 70 to 80 years. If we'll serve God and do what he says, our lifespan should be at least 70 to 80. Now, so if you get up close to 80 or 90 years old and then you think, well, I'm getting sick now or something's wrong, you know, I mean, you may have just lived out your life. Who knows? You know, I've seen that before. But anyway, I said, that's usually what happens. A man does not put God first and he makes his empire, builds his house, his buildings, everything. And he doesn't praise the Lord. He doesn't think. He goes to church on Sunday. He may even tithe, but he doesn't put God first. Do you know there's a big difference between putting God first and just going to church on Sunday? And so I said, and so those men wind up not producing any fruit for the kingdom. And I said, now then, before I go any further, I want to show you what happens to men that don't produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I said, there is a scripture in John 15:2 that tells you what God does to people in the new covenant. How many of y'all know John's in the New Testament? It ain't in the Old Testament. Some people say, no, that God in the Old Testament, he killed everybody. Well, let me tell you, he does that in the New Testament too. So look at what John 15:2 says. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. Now then, let's put that up there in the King James. I want you to see this in the King James. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. I said, that's what happens to so many men. And this man looked at me and he says, that's me. I've done that. I mean, it wasn't hard for him to recognize he'd made a mistake. I said, okay. I said, so now you see what brought you to your deathbed at your mid-50s. I said, you didn't put God first. Does that literally say that God will cut you off? Is that what that says? Now then, what do you think it means to be cut off? Does that mean to you what it means to me? If I'm cut off, that means I'm taken away and whack. It's over, right, Michael?
That's right.
And that, you and me in agreement with that, right? If we're a branch in Christ, now he didn't say he'd do this to the unbeliever, did he? No, he just judges them when he wants to. Here he's talking about the believer. He said, every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. Is that what he said? How many of them? Every one that doesn't bear fruit. So what if we go along here and go to church for 20 or 30 years, but we didn't produce any fruit? And we never said, praise the Lord. You know, we never prayed over our meal in a restaurant because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. See, this book is an owner's manual, is it not? Do you believe like I do that this book means exactly what it says? I believe that with all my heart. So anyway, this man, I told this man, I said, you know, if you will repent, 1 John 1:9, I'm going to show you that. I used this with this man. I said, I've used this with all of them, but I've just given you an example of when I say this man. Okay, there's that scripture again. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. Will I praise his holy name? Wow, that's not the one I wanted to, but 1 John 1:9, chapter 1, verse 9. There's another one that says, praise the Lord with your whole heart, right? So that's another one. And then he says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Is that a promise from God? Okay. Will that work? If it's God's word? If I'm that man that hasn't produced fruit, and I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, I have not produced fruit. I repent of my sin of not being a fruit bearer. Will he forgive me? He says he will, didn't he? I said, okay, now then, it's a done deal. All we got to do is pray the prayer of faith for you. Now then, let me show you a prayer of faith. Let me take you to a scripture in the book of James, James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And I want you to see, I use this for many people, men. I've done this many times. And he says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't sound difficult at all, does it? Now, then the next verse, 15. And such a prayer offered in faith. Offered how? In faith. Not unbelieving, but in faith. Such a prayer offered in faith might heal the sick. Is that what he said? He said it will, didn't he? Now, can God's word be, there's only one person that can change that, and that's us. If we do it exactly like he says, God has got to do what he promised, right? He's got to do it. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Now, what kind of a wonderful promise is this? Does this cover everything? Okay, so we pray the prayer of faith. And after we pray the prayer of faith and everything, let's see, was there verse 16? Let's see what verse 16 says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, last week, how many of y'all remember how many of you are righteous? How many of you remember you're righteous? Okay, if you remember last week's service, we showed you specifically from God's word that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have now become the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right? So when it says the prayer of a righteous man can do wonderful things, who is that righteous person? It should be any one of us in this room. When you say, oh, I'm not righteous, let me tell you what, you just slapped God in the face. You didn't have a thing in the world to do with becoming righteous except confess me as your Lord and Savior. And when you did that, I have made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You can now pray that prayer of faith, right? When you realize that you've been made just like Jesus by what he did, you are now able to pray the prayer of faith for anybody. But, and so if you're not praying for them, you and the people that ask you to pray are being deceived. You're not obeying the word of God. But when you pray the prayer of faith there and you anoint this person with oil, how many of them did God guarantee to heal? Okay, all of them. And then now we're going to go back one more time to James 1, 6 and 7 one more time to see what happens when I tell you, okay, now we've done everything. We've prayed over you. We've anointed you with oil. Now I guarantee you're healed. Now then, he said you have to trust in who? God alone. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But when you ask him, you make sure that your faith is in God alone. Now then, when I pray for you, and then let's say a month later or 2 months later or whatever, somebody called me and said, Thurman, the man we went and prayed for, he died. And I have this happen all the time. I said, well, did he go back for chemo treatments? Oh, yeah. After you left that day, the next week, he got to hurting a little bad. And so he went back for chemo and had another chemo treatment. In fact, he had two more or three more. And now and then they called me this morning and said he passed away. Was he trusting in God alone? Is it hard to trust in God alone? Guarantee. Don't you tell me for a second you think it ain't hard to trust in God alone. If it's your body that's hurting and has some, let me tell you, it's very difficult to trust in God alone because you can't see him. You can see that doctor. You see where I'm coming from? Now, I don't condemn anybody that they go to a doctor like that, but you have no idea the number of people that I have seen that I prayed over and guaranteed them they were healed. And then they went back to a doctor. And when they went to the doctor, they lost their healing. Sometimes. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you don't lose your healing, but sometimes you do. More times than not, if you don't trust God alone, when you use the word, you'll lose your healing. But you know how hard it is? Let's say this is my wife, and we were not really, you know, strong believers, but we're pretty good believers. But somebody comes up and said she had something, you know, I mean, whatever, it could be a tumor or whatever, anything. And somebody comes to me and says, you know, if I know that you and your wife is not getting along real good, and so I really think that if y'all would both repent of your sins, and then I can pray for you, and God will heal your wife. And if we're really not tuned into this kind of stuff, how hard is it going to be for me and her to do that when she's got a tumor? How hard? Is it hard? Yeah. In fact, Cheryl and I, we had a lady. They very rarely do they come anymore, but because they live so far away. But we had a lady one time that had started coming to our church in Dallas. When we were in Dallas, we were a whole lot closer to them. And they come heard me teaching on breast cancer and all this stuff, and then they told us that their granddaughter, which I think she's about 20 or 21 years old, had breast cancer, and they wanted us to pray for her, so they brought her to us. We found her sin. We found she had unforgiveness towards someone. She confessed her sin. We prayed the prayer of faith for her, and the girl got well. I mean, it happened so quick, I don't think they even had time to go back to a doctor, but I thank God when he does something like that. But after that happened, this woman came to us, the mother, the grandmother, and said, Thurman, I have had a tumor as big as a cantaloupe in my stomach for 15 years. And I said, well, in fact, I think Cheryl asked her, said, do you have, and it was on the right side, she said, do you have an unforgiveness toward your husband? And she looked at Cheryl and said, yes, I do. How long ago did this come upon you? About 15 years ago. Now, could that just be a coincidence that this woman had a tumor? Obviously, it wasn't cancer because she had had this big old thing in her right side of her stomach for 15 years. But when we go back to her sin, she had gotten into an unforgiveness with her husband about 15 years ago. And then, of course, by this time, the revelation from this word of Matthew 18, 21 through 35 had become a revelation to me that if we hold any kind of grudge against anybody for anything, God the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment us. Is that written in the book, Miss Jackie?
Yes, it is.
You know that, don't you? Well, this woman, of course, back in this day, she didn't know that. So we showed her this, and I told her, I said, now this is a tormenting spirit from God because you've had an unforgiveness towards your husband. She said, but, you know, he was really a stinker. I said, don't make any difference. It don't matter what he did. When you hold the grudge, you're the one who pays the consequence. And that doesn't sound fair, does it? But that's the way it's written. I didn't write the rule book, did I? So anyway, this woman, she said, I forgive my husband. I think she brought him to church the next Sunday, and we all prayed over her. She forgave him. She told him, said, I've been holding this grudge against you. I've now learned that that's what brought my cancer, my tumor upon me 15 years ago. And she said, I forgive you, honey, and I will love you from now on. I don't care what. And we prayed the prayer of faith and commanded that thing to go away. We spoke to her mountain, according to Mark 11, 23, and commanded her mountain to go away. And the next Sunday, I think it was the next Sunday. Yeah, the very next Sunday, when this woman came to church with her husband, after having this tumor in her right side for 15 years, after doing what God said and trusting in God alone, that tumor was completely gone and that woman was completely healed. And I know that's been at least, 10 years ago? At least 10 years ago. And that woman's tumor has never come back in her body since that day. Now, isn't that amazing how God makes this system work? You know, but it's just amazing. You know, and he doesn't care who you are. You know, red, yellow, black, or white. To God, it makes no difference. You know, he's the one that made us all. He's the one that did colors, nationalities, and everything. And his rules work the same for all of us. And so when people obey God and do what he says, he will do what he says. Now then, let me ask you this question. Let's go back to the benefit package in Psalm 103. And let's look at this in Psalm 103, verse 3. And let's see what that says. Psalm 103, verse 3. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Now then, we've figured out it's real easy to forgive people our sins, their sins. We can believe God can do that. So what I don't understand is why we can believe the first half of that sentence, since it's all in verse 3. Why is it that we can say, yes, I believe he forgives all of my sins or my iniquities, but I have problem believing he heals all of my diseases? Why? I think we don't have enough of the word in us. I really think this is why. Let's see what the next verse says. Verse 4. Let's see what verse 4 says. He redeems me from death, and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. Now, I like that, don't you? In other words, you notice the order we're going down through here. First thing he did, he forgave what? How many of your iniquities? And then what did he do? Healed all of your diseases. And then he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Wow. So you see what happens when we go down the line and we do it like God says. Then verse 5, let's see what... He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. So see there, Roy? We don't have to be old just because we're 81, do we? No, we don't have to be old, you know? I mean, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I go around telling everybody, well, gee, I'm 75 or 76 or 80 or 81, whatever me or Roy is, well, I'm getting old. I guess I got one foot on the banana peel and the other in the grave. Do you hear people talk like that?
Yes.
Yes, you hear people talk like that. Do you hear Christians talk like that?
Yes.
They don't have any idea that what they're saying is what they're going to get. But if we claim these kind of things, he forgives all of my iniquities. He heals all of my diseases. I've repented of all my sins. So if I'm repented of my sins, And he forgives all of my iniquities, and then he heals all my diseases, and praise God, why do I need a doctor? Do I need a doctor?
No.
I have the best doctor in the universe. But he only works one way, by faith. Is that right, Ida? He only works by faith, doesn't he? I mean, he don't go by just this shotgun blast stuff, does he? It's by your faith that he does it. But if you got faith, what's impossible? Nothing. That's right. In fact, I remember after Ida got healed of breast cancer herself that time, later God put her to the test. You remember when you had the test about your back?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and I prayed for her. I did everything. And I prayed for her and told her, you got to believe. And of course, I pounded this in her. I mean, you know, I'm pounding this. She's coming out here. Her back's killing her. I said, but we prayed. We believed. You're getting it. You're walking in love. She said, it's done. I ain't going to no doctor. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Now, Is she trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone? You know how hard that was when she came out of work because her back's killing her? You know how easy it would have been just to say, I give up, I'm going to the doctor? But you didn't do that, did you?
No.
She stood her ground. And week after week, two or three or four weeks this went on. And every time I'd see her, I'd say, Ida, how's your back? She said, it hurts like crazy, but Thurman, I'm healed by his stripes. Now, you see? Now, see, that's the difference between a woman of faith and a woman of unbelief. In other words, she'd already been healed of breast cancer, so she knew God healed, didn't you? You'd already seen that one, and so you... that made it a little easier for you to stand on, didn't it, Ida?
It did.
See, if she hadn't had that first... But see, that's why God did it that way. He gave her one to let her know, I am the healer. And now then that I'm going to put this little test upon you, and I'm going to give you a problem with your back, and I'm going to see if you're going to make it. And she did. I mean, she did. I mean, she went, like I say, every week, she works two or three days a week. And she comes out and volunteers and helps us. But she's one of the few that we let do that. But she's so good at what she does. So every time she comes back, I'd say, Ida, how's your back? She said, it hurts like crazy, Thurman. But by his stripes, I am healed. It's already done. We prayed, it's done. Now, that Miss Jackie, does that sound like faith? That's faith. Well, finally, one day I come, I said, how's your back? She said, it's healed. Praise God, there's no pain. Now, see, when she trust, you know how hard that was for her during all that pain to trust in the Lord and trust in Him alone?
Amen.
But you did it, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And you got healed too, didn't you? So you see, now when a person, and I've had this happen so many times, just like I told Weston Blair that time whenever he come out here and he had cancer. You know, in fact, Weston, that's been years ago. In fact, I think it was in Dallas when he first came to me. Weston had cancer, and I told him, I said, Weston, there's two things that causes cancer in men. And I explained to him, not putting God first and unforgiveness. When I explained to him not putting God first, he said, Thurman, that doesn't fit me at all. He said, I'm a pastor. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a PhD. I teach at the university. And he said, I guarantee I put God first. I read his word a lot and I praise him and worship him. I said, okay, Weston, that's not your problem. So I said, but the other thing that causes cancer in men is holding a grudge against someone, unforgiveness. I said, do you have an unforgiveness toward anybody? He turned and looked at me and said, I hate my father. I said, why do you hate your father? He said, my daddy used to come in drunk and beat my mother up on the floor. I've seen him throw her on the floor and pound her in the face with his big old fist, drunk as he could be. And he said, I said, if I ever get big enough, I will kill him for what he's done to my mother. You know, it doesn't sound fair, does it, Michael? Because that's the way we would all think, isn't it? But that's not the way God thinks. God says, you got to forgive him. You got to forgive him. He said, you mean I'm dying with cancer because of my hatred toward my dad? I said, yes, sir. I said, as long as you have that, you cannot get healed. I said, God has sent a tormenting spirit to torment you. And I said, until you repent, you cannot get healed. And then he repented and he said, well, I showed him all these scriptures we've talked about today. I told him, now you have to trust God. And he's a smart man. So he saw that and he said, man, he didn't cut us no slack, did he? I said, no, not at all. I said, you got to trust him and him alone. He said, I see that. I said, so what are you going to do? Well, he said, this week I've got to, he said, I've repented and you prayed over me. So far as I'm concerned, it's done. I'm healed. But he said, I've got an appointment at MD Anderson this next week, so I'm going to go let them check me. I said, whatever you do, I said, when you go down there, this is probably what they're going to tell you. You need to start treatments immediately. Yeah, because it was had already been diagnosed with it in stage 4. And you know, that's the last stage. I said, but you're going to have to say, no, I'm not going to take any treatments. I'm not going to take any medication. That scripture says, I'm going to trust in Jesus alone. Is that what it said, Andy? You have to trust in Jesus alone. Is that really what that said? Now, you know you didn't misread that. That's what it said. Do you think he means that? Okay, so he really doesn't mean that. Okay, so when I told Weston he'd have to trust in the Lord alone, so he goes to Houston and they check him. And it's so bad, they want to start chemo and radiation both right now, today. And he says, nope. He said, I've already been to the healer. It's Jesus. He said, I've already found out my sin that caused this. Of course, nobody believes that. Almost nobody believes that. So he said, I have repented of my sin. I've been prayed for in faith. And so I'm healed because it's written in God's word. God can't lie. And see, Weston, he's an educated man. He knows the word of God. He knows God can't lie. But you got to stand on his word, just like it's written. And so he did. And so they told him, well, said, if you're not going to let us do anything, no medicine, no nothing. He said, nothing. They said, this world-renowned doctor, he calls him. He said, well, if you're still alive in 6 months, come back and we'll check you. But he said, I don't think you'll be alive in 6 months. You'll be history. So he said, okay. So he comes back. He comes to church every Sunday. And that 6 months is up. He was looking great, getting around great. I said, how do you feel? He said, man, I'm healed. It don't matter how I feel. He said, but I do feel good too. He said, I'm healed. Because it's written in the book. So he goes back to MD Anderson and they give him that 6 month checkup. And the doctor looked at him and said, Weston, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, you better bottle it and patent it because it will sell. Now, why is it we always want to sell it? See, Jesus doesn't sell it, does he, Ida? He gives it away. Yeah, it's free from Jesus. And so they told Weston, there's not a cancer cell in your body. Now, folks, that's been 10 years ago. And Weston Blair has been here many times since that. How many of y'all know Weston? Oh, wow, a whole bunch of you. Okay, you've known Weston. He always comes, sits right here on the front row or right there in that seat one. But he's healed and he's still healed and has had no cancer. But guess what? Weston will not get into unforgiveness with anybody for anything. Now then, when we forget not all the Lord's benefits and all these things, When he says what he says here, I want to take you to a verse and I want to read the whole verse, Exodus 15:26. I want you to see, put it in the King James, Exodus 15:26. And I want you to see what that says. Now then, do you notice that this has got the biggest word in the Bible in that first line? And we all know what that is, don't we? If. And said, if you will diligently hearken. Now, wait a minute. What's the difference between diligently doing something and just doing it? Is there a difference? I mean, if you diligently after something, you're after it, right? Yeah, okay, so I mean, I need to go mow the yard. Well, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that next week. But if I'm diligent, I look out there and say, my lands, I can't believe this. I got to get out here right now. I got to have this yard mowed before this afternoon's up. That's diligence. You get in there and do something diligently. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and will keep all of His statutes, I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, comma, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay, now then, I want you to look at that a second and tell me what you see in that verse. Starting at the top, the first part of that down to, say, right there, where it says, end of your statutes. What do you see in that first part of that, from the beginning to the statutes? What is that telling you as an individual? He's trying to tell you what you have to do? Does anybody else get that besides Kim? Is that what you see? And that's what you see too. In other words, the first part of that verse, in other words, I couldn't take that verse and say, okay, let me start right here and let me wipe this out and let me go back up here and wipe this out. Then let me put right here, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Now, what if I take that out of context and I just tell you, God, because of that verse, God would never put sickness and disease upon you. Can I do that? Why can't I not do that? Because that's what it says. Oh, I had to take it out of context to make it say that, right? Because if I take the first half of that verse and throw it away and then start where I will put none of these diseases upon you, that's not what he said, is it? He clearly, if I read this right, I wanted your opinion to this just like mine. But if I want to fall in this category where he says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, if I want that to work from here up, I got to do all those things. Is that right? What if I don't do that? What if I don't do that? What if I don't diligently seek Him? What if I don't keep His commandments? What if I don't keep His statutes? What if I go out and do what I want to? What if I go to church when I want to? I don't care. I don't have to serve God. I don't have to never say, bless the Lord. I can do anything I want to do. And if I do that, then what does He legally can do to me? He can put sickness on me, right? If I obey Him, He can't put it on me, can He? He promised. But where he says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which he also said here, the next line, if you take that first line down to the comma, he says, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So who is it that put sickness on the Egyptians? And that, y'all read that just like I do. But you know, you will be amazed at the number of people that will tell you, you just ask this week if you run into another Christian, do you believe God will put sickness on you? That's what you'll hear. Probably 95% of the time, if you ask somebody, do you believe God will put sickness on you? You know what they'll all say? But is that what the Word said? God clearly said there, Pharisee, that He will put sickness on us, didn't He? And He said He'll do it if we don't obey Him. Is that what He said? Now, He ain't going to come by and give you a busting just to give you a busting because you're a man, is He? He's going to give you a blessing because you deserve it. Yeah. So as long as you're walking in love with the Master, as long as you're loving your wife like Christ loved the church and all the things He told you to do, He's not going to put no sickness on you, is He? No. And don't you love that?
Yes.
I love it. I mean, am I reading that verse right or wrong?
Correct.
Y'all all agree with me?
Amen.
Okay, so if I do not want God to put sickness upon me, what do I need to do to walk in divine health? I have to obey the word. Now then, to obey the word under this law, I had to keep this. Under the new law, what do I have to do? John 13:34, I believe it is. Let's go to John 13:34 and let's see what the commandment is under the new covenant. This is the old covenant. In other words, under the old covenant, if I obeyed him and did everything, how much sickness would he take away from me?
All.
In other words, if I obeyed God, if I could do that under the old covenant, if I walked in obedience to his word under the old covenant, did he promise to take all sickness away from me? He did, didn't he? So that means if I get sick, what's wrong? There's a sin somewhere. There's got to be a sin somewhere. He can't do this. John, verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. And what is it? Well, I can love Scott here pretty easy. But Michael over there, he might not be quite so easy to love. If that was really the case. Now, so God says I can love him. Do I have to love Michael too?
Yes.
Does it make any difference how hard Michael is to love or how easy or hot Scott is to love? I got to love them both the same. Is that right?
Amen.
It makes no difference whether people are easy to get along with or hard to get along. Now, either one of these guys is hard to get along with. Don't get me wrong. They're both easy to love. If I had no more trouble loving people than I do these two guys, I wouldn't have no problem whatsoever. None whatsoever. But you know, how many of y'all know everybody ain't that easy to love? And sometimes, now y'all don't tell me I'm wrong here. Sometimes, under certain conditions, it may be your own mate. I mean, there's times, you know, Cheryl will tell you that sometimes I've had a really hard day or something. I come in and, you know, she'll say, honey, let's go get something to eat. And I'll snap her head off, you know. And then after she picks herself up off the floor, oh, my goodness gracious. I'm sure that didn't fit the criteria of loving your wife like Christ loved the church. You know that? So I better be ready for a spanking if I don't repent right quick. So if I'm smart, I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Honey, forgive me. Lord, forgive me because I don't want to get a busting. Because he knows how to do that. You know that? He knows how to do that. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. So now then, under the new covenant, how many of you would like to walk in divine health the rest of your life? What do we got to do that?
Love.
Walk in love. If we walk in love, and then you'll have to learn how to talk to go with it. You'll have to learn that you have to speak up, I am healed by the Lord. He bore my sickness and removed my disease. In fact, let's go, let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. That's what it is. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Yeah. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a single command, and he healed all the sick. Do you like that?
Amen.
Under the new covenant? Well, let's see the next verse and see what verse 17 says. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our diseases. Now, if Jesus has already took away all of our iniquities or whatever and bore our sickness for us, then that, under the new covenant, if we're walking in love, that should be our confession. My confession is the Master paid the price for me. If he paid the price for me, just like Dave said, I've literally learned this principle, and in Dave said 30 years for me, but it's really closer to 35. I have not been to a physical doctor for nothing other than my airplane physical, which I have to go in every 2 years and have a physical. And when I do that, you know, the last time I was there, the doctor, after he got through checking everything, he said, now you're this old? I said, yes, that's exactly right. He looked at me, said, I can't find a thing wrong with you. He said, how many medications are you on? I said, none. You don't take any kind of medicine. He said, you know, maybe we need to do some tests on you. I told him, there ain't no way you're going to start doing any tests on my perfectly healed body. He said, how do you do this? I said, Jesus. I said, Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I said, I don't get sick. He said, how long has it been since you've been to a doctor? I said, other than coming to you to get my medical so I can fly my airplane. I said, right now, that's been a couple of years ago when I did that with him. I said, it's been about 32, 33 years ago since I've had to go to a doctor. That was before I learned how to walk by faith. He said, okay, he said, come in here. I said, okay, we'll walk in there. He says, now then, I want to start at line so-and-so. Can you read that? I said, well, what if I go down two more lines? Is that okay? He said, you can read two more lines down? I said, yes. He said, come up here and let me sign you. I said, you're okay. When you can't find nothing wrong with you, they want to start making some tests to find out there's got to be something wrong with you. But there is nothing wrong with me. I mean, Jesus gave me these promises. He gave them to who? All of us. He gave all these wonderful promises to us so that we can, in 2 Peter, he says, I give you all these precious promises so you can become partakers of the divine nature of God. Isn't that awesome? But as soon as the enemy attacks us, instead of saying, okay, Lord, what did I do wrong? I repent of my sins. I'm standing on your word. What's the average person do? We go to the doctor. That's exactly what we do. And all I can do is tell you what the Word says and then let God and the Holy Spirit do His work with you. That's all I can do. I can't make you believe these promises. Can I, Michael? That's between you and God, right? All I do is confront you with the Word and what it says and then let Him do what He wants to do. But let me ask today. How many, before we start, we're going to pass out the bread and wine here right quick, but before we do that, let me ask this group on Sunday afternoon, how many of you here have received some kind of healing from Jesus? Wow, look at that. That's almost every one of us in this room has received some kind of a healing from the Lord. Wow, that's what I say. Lord, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for all of us because if we preach that He's the healer and we believe it, He shows up, doesn't He? And every, just, in fact, I don't think was there anybody in here, if you had not received some kind of a healing, never, ever, hold up your hand. Okay, there's not hardly anybody, very few. Most of us have received some kind of a healing from the Lord. But when y'all all held your hands up, I thought, wow, I know I have. I know my honey bunny has. We have almost all of us received some kind of healing from Jesus, haven't we, Michael? And do we love that? Oh, do we love that serving an awesome God. Okay, now we're going to pass out the communion bread and the juice. Remember that by His stripes you were healed. It's already a done deal. You know, He's forgiven you of all sin. He's healed you of everything. But you got to believe that. If you don't believe that by faith, many of you die early. Is that right, young lady? Is that what the scripture said? Isn't that something? That we die early because we don't believe what He said. We don't apply by faith what He's already done to our physical bodies. Wow. Is that something or is that something? Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, that's right. Next Saturday is a healing school. So anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah, we invite you to come Saturday at 2:00. 1:00. The healing school is at 1:00. I've only been doing this for 20 years. You'd think I'd finally get that down. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Remember the bread and the juice. He healed me and delivered me from sin. Wow, by what He did on that cross. And I receive by faith what He's already done. It's He done it. You don't have to do it again. Never. It's done. And every time we partake of this, we receive our healing and our deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the bread and the juice. So what do y'all think the problem is with us, the church? Do you think maybe the church itself has just not heard enough teaching on healing? It's why they go to the doctor so much? Gracie, you think that's why we go to the doctor so easy? Because once you learn the truth, like you and Michael have learned, y'all don't ever go to a doctor if something happens. You just pray for each other, right? Just like me and Cheryl, that's what we do. Is that what you do? You just pray? If something happens to you, you just pray or get somebody to agree in prayer or find a church here and come back to get us to pray for you or something, right? Isn't that wonderful? Is the promises in his book? They are. Can he lie? No, he cannot. But you know, this week, if you get a chance, ask somebody, even a pastor, do you believe God will put sickness on us? And see what the answer is. I'll tell you, about 95% of the time, it's going to be no. They don't believe that. But that's not what the Word says. In fact, you can ask them, do you believe God will kill you? And they will absolutely say no. Well, then take them to John 15:2 and ask them what they think that means. For every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. That's kind of scary, isn't it? I'll tell you what, that got me off my duff. Kicked me out the door and said, get out there and get to doing something for the kingdom of God. Otherwise, I might have to go home early. I want to live a long time, don't you, Michael? Yeah, I want to live out a full, good life, don't you? Yeah, I want to live it out. I want to do it and everything. And I want to be preaching the word. And when the Lord takes me home one day and when I get home, I'm just like you. I know what you want to hear. I know we all want to hear, well done, faithful servant, right? Yeah, so I hope we all get to hear that. If we were about the master's business, that's what we will get to hear. But if we're not about his business, it may not be quite so good. Praise the Lord. Now then, before we take this, I want all of you to promise me this week as you go forth, you will praise the Lord. Is that the instructions he gave us? Praise his holy name. Now remember, this is not Thurman on your back trying to get you to do this. I'm just telling you what the master said, right? And if you do what he says, he's going to be the one to reward you, not me. But he's going to be the one. And do you believe he'll reward you if you do what he says? I do too. And I believe he'll let us live to be old, healthy men and women if we do what he says, don't you? Father, we thank you for the bread. We're so grateful that you bore our sickness and removed our disease. And we do this as often as we take this, we remember that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's easy to say praise the Lord when you think about what the blood has done for you, right? Wow. If it wasn't for this Jesus, we'd all be destined for hell. But the way it is now, we're all destined for heaven. That's what I say. Thank you, Lord. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for the juice. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go forth this week, we will praise the Lord and bless his name, right? Because he's told us to. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for we praise the name. Father, and we thank you and praise you for the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. We will praise his holy name because he is worthy. Thank you, Father, for using all of us this week. As we go forth, Lord, direct us and put us in the right place where we will be able to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And we're so grateful to be your sons and daughters. We thank you for all the healings you've done for all of us here. And Lord, I don't think there was a single person here in the church that hadn't received some kind of healing from you in the past few years. I am so grateful, Lord, that you're our mighty God. You're our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. And I thank you for the great things you're going to do and what the things you've already done. But I praise you and thank you, Lord, for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, if you want to give an offering to the church, there's the gray box over there on the wall. If you want any of the CDs or DVDs, they're free. Take all you want. And if you need to be prayed for, Cheryl and I will be here at the front. Michael and Gracie will be over there. I know Scott and Kim will be back there somewhere. Eric and Pat will be back there somewhere. And then Dave and Jeff will be back there somewhere too. So And Rosemary and Sharon are both here today, too. That's right. So we got all kinds of people to pray for you, find you a good prayer warrior, and have them pray for you. Praise the Lord.